you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, September 6th, 2022. Joining me in the studio is a good friend, a newer friend, is Pastor David Hayter. He's the senior pastor of the Champaign Church of the Nazarene. You've been there four months now. I told Holly the other day, I think we've had about 100 texts back and forth. Some of you might have heard me mention him as my new racquetball partner. We played a week or so ago and are looking forward to other things. I think your shoulder's still recovering and you're working through that. I think my leg is healed up now. I could get back on the court probably today, but appreciate the ministry work you have in our area. Yeah. And it's been neat having you a part of our Ministry Leaders Network. You've come to those a few times.
Yeah.
So much so that last week I had you share because I felt like you had the heartbeat for the group. You're working on your PhD. What's the official title? I know it's like Ministry Outside the Box and How to Reach the Generations.
Yeah, I'm doing my dissertation. I'm doing a doctorate of ministry in spiritual formation and discipleship. And my dissertation is essentially ministry in a secular world. What does ministry look like in a world that is ever changing into being more non-Christian than post-Christian? Mm-hmm. How do we reach people? How do we love people in a tangible way that they can experience Christ that we would hope? And so kind of thinking outside the box, new methods, ways to just be in community with people.
And we're going
to
probably come back to this and cover some of it because I have some notes here. Going and sending, listening and learning, interest and intentionality and authenticity. So we're going to maybe cover that because I loved how you shared that with the pastors last week and the feedback. So many hung around and wanted to talk about it. I could see some healthy convictions, some different pastors and ministry leaders thinking, yeah, I got to be a little more intentional or I got to work on my listening skills or that going and sending. Yeah, that's right. You know, people aren't attending church like they used to. I need to go out and find creative methods or means or mechanisms to reach them where they're at. And so we'll touch on that. But you've been a part of the Ministry Leaders Network and appreciate your participation in that. And I should give you a little bit of an introduction. You've been serving the Lord for a number of years, but the last 16 years, you've been involved in a number of ways of serving through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, through Young Life, through Athletes in Action. You've served in various roles in the church in Alabama, Louisiana. We were talking about some of that Cajun food that you appreciated. Recently, you were serving in Texas, and God called you to come to the greater Champaign-Urbana area, so we'll talk a little about that. I think on the Friday program a week or two back, I was talking about your escapades. Yeah, no pun intended, but being a part of the Winter Olympic team with bobsledding, that's something that maybe people aren't very familiar with. You're a two-time Ironman finisher, so that takes a lot of intentionality.
Endurance.
Endurance and preparation and workouts and such. You're learning to get your racquetball game back up to speed. Appreciate that. You were born and raised in Ohio, and you have a lovely wife that will be delivering your second daughter maybe any moment, maybe in the next couple of days. So I thank God we were praying up that your little baby, have you named her yet?
We've
Can I officially announce that over the air?
So we're looking at Madeline Ray. That's kind of the one that's stuck, and God kind of gave that to Joni and I, and so that's what we're thinking. But you never name a kid until you see them because they got to have the looks. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that should happen anytime. And as mentioned, Joni, your beloved wife, you've been married a little over 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there'll be a little part of your love story that will have to enter into this.
Yeah.
This is your first radio interview. So you asked me, now, what are you going to ask me? I said, I don't know. We'll see what happens once we get behind the microphone. But we began with Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So on this Testimony Tuesday, maybe weave in why this is a significant verse for you now, or was a significant verse in your life.
Yeah, so when you asked what my favorite verse was, it's one of those where as a pastor you go, well, which one?
Yeah.
But this one's one that's been kind of sticking out recently. God's been laying it on my heart. And the idea of it shares our value. So one translation says we're his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus. And I think for people who sometimes don't feel valued, or the world can beat you down, or you just feel like you're a failure, things like that, things aren't going your way, to know that outside of anything you're doing, you are God's masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Your value is dictated by the Father who created you is just so freeing to be able to go and do life and to do it knowing that he did prepare works in advance for you. He did orchestrate the life. And even for, you know, our daughter, both of our daughter that we have and the one that's going to be born, God has orchestrated a plan for them that he wants them to do. And so it's very freeing and just opens it up for us to be able to do what God wants us to do. And I just love that. So for people who are just feeling discouraged or undervalued or feeling like they're not worth anything, that verse just shares you're his masterpiece and there's nothing you can do or say to change that. You are his. And I just love the truth of that.
And the fact that person that's tuning in now has maybe never considered the fact that God has prepared in advance. So there are some things, if you're still alive and living, he has some plans and purposes for you to achieve today, tomorrow, in the future, 10 years from now. So don't give up or don't be discouraged. I mean, there's times that certainly we all can be discouraged, or the evil one can maybe thwart our plans, or for whatever reason, we take our eyes off of Jesus and we get self-centered or consumed with what we want to do. And maybe we feel like, oh God, what's the meaning of life? Well, he has plans and purposes. He's a good, gracious, loving God. And he is going to fulfill those things out in your life. And maybe you're through a time where you need to be refined or disciplined, or you have to grow. And so many times we grow during those valley experiences. Yeah. We don't grow as much when we're on the mountaintop and everything is hunky-dory.
It takes pressure and fire to refine things. So sometimes that happens.
Well, last Thursday at our Ministry Leaders Network luncheon, and we had over 30 high-capacity leaders, pastors. They were all engaged, and it was fun. We had those Costco hot dogs, and we had potato salad and beans and other fixings and fruit and such. But there was a lively atmosphere. Yeah. There was a lot of conversation going on, and a couple new pastors joining us for the first time. So there was just a lot of camaraderie and energy in the room. And then I think you hit it out of the park, or let's see, with you. Oh, did I mention you that you referee football? Do you do other sports where you referee?
I did baseball. I don't know whether I'm going to continue or not. We'll just see what the family dynamics and everything.
Well, you do that, and it's not Big Ten yet,
Division 3.
Division 3. And so you're athletic and involved, and maybe part of some of your faith journey can talk about what many people go through, where maybe our hobbies or whatever become our mini gods. But God was working in your life. You grew up in a Catholic parish attending mass or learning catechisms and such. But take us through some of that faith journey.
I grew up going to church every Sunday, shirt and tie and clip-on tie. We went through catechism, got confirmed, but it never really stuck. And so things of life, scouts, sports, things like that got in the way. And we stopped attending church. And it wasn't until some young life leaders in my life that were actually in the school became interested in me, not necessarily anything that I could give them, but just became interested in me. And over the next few years, just loved me. And that showed me something different that I didn't know. And so through Young Life, when I was 18 at a camp in New York, I really understood the relationship with Jesus that was being offered, and I accepted that and have been walking since.
And I'm going to jump in because there's some people might be unfamiliar with the Christian jargon or accepting Jesus into your life. Like, who is this Jesus? And what do you mean accepting into your life? Or he became my Lord and Savior. For somebody maybe unfamiliar with, what were those steps? What was that understanding that you recognized you needed Jesus?
I think, you know, for me, it was a lot of the things in life that I was a part of and the things that I were chasing just weren't fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And so it was this just longing for something more. And I had heard about Jesus. I had been part of Young Life and kind of heard the truth of sin separation from God and his design for us to be in relationship with him and sending Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, that we would be able to be in relationship. And it was really explained very clearly for me that it was the gift of salvation. And I can give you a gift, Mark, but it doesn't become yours until you accept it, until you actually. So if I put a $100 bill on the table, I say,
Please do, by the way.
You know, it doesn't become yours until you actually take it and put it in your wallet. And so for me, it became very tangible that, you know, this God wants to be in relationship with me, but I have to, in turn, be willing to be in relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And so it's that making a decision that says, you know, yeah, I want to accept the gift of salvation that you've offered, and I want to be in relationship with you. And so it becomes a two-way street rather than just a one-way street.
So when you receive this gift, you acknowledge that you were a sinner, that you needed the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to take on the punishment that you deserve.
Yeah.
He took it to the cross. He took it for all of us, but it's for those of us that accepted it, receive it, and he becomes our ongoing Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
So that happened. So did your life totally, you've never sinned since, and everything has been perfect?
Everything's been wonderful. No, not at all. No, it's a journey, and you continually are growing, and God reveals things. David in the Psalms writes, you know, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me, and search me, O God, and know me. Like, it's this continuous, you know, God, refine me. I want to be more like you. And I wish I could say that, you know, when I accepted Christ, everything was hunky-dory. And even 18 years later, if you ask Joni, things are still not hunky-dory. There are days where I'm in need of his grace every day, and he's constantly refining me. And, you know, the other day I shaved off part of my thumb, and I may have had to ask forgiveness for some of the things that I thought about saying or said. Because we constantly need that grace, and thank God for his mercies new every morning, because I need every bit of it. Mm. And so even 18 years later and serving as a pastor, you know, I still need, and I'm still growing, and I'm still learning and being refined. And but it's such a blessed journey. It's been wonderful so far.
Well, you mentioned Joni. That's your wife of, your beloved wife of 4 years. Where did you meet up, and how did God bring that all about?
I was serving as a youth pastor, youth and college pastor in Baton Rouge with Baton Rouge Church of the Nazarene. And we had our summer camp. I was the camp director for about 5-6 years. And her sister was serving in a Nazarene church. And so they started bringing their church kids to our teen camp. So we met, I think, in 2013. If she was here, she could give me the exact date. That's her gifting, is remembering dates. But we met, and we were friends for 4 or 5 years. And really and truly, God just took the blinders off and helped me to see at the right time that this was the one that he wanted for me. And we started dating, got engaged 6 months later, and got married 6 months later. And it's only been 4 years, but it just feels it feels like a lifetime in a good way. Because it's been so wonderful, and she definitely is a blessing.
And as the role as the first lady at the Champaign Church of the Nazarene, I love some of the churches that they really honor the pastor's wife and in her unique role.
Yeah.
Does she serve alongside with you, or being the mom and taking care of your child and your child to be at any moment? If you run out, I understand. We have your phone ready in case it does ring.
Yeah, she, you know, it's been a blessing. She is so gifted with being relational with people. And it's funny, she would tell you she's introverted, but when I see her with people, the love and the care and the hospitality and just taking, you know, who she is and allowing God to use that to just love people and care for people and lift people up has been so encouraging. And right now with our daughter, Morgan, who's almost 21 months, you know, she's doing the nursery thing, and so she's kind of just filling in where God uses her, but definitely is such a vibrant part and so encouraging to me to see how God's using her to love women and young mothers and people that she's connecting with.
I want to transition our time, our last 8 or so minutes, on the topics that you were addressing with the Ministry Leaders Network last Thursday, because I think they're so helpful for not only the pastors and ministry leaders, but for me, there was a couple things you touched on that brought healthy conviction. And I thought, yeah, I got to do better in that area. And oh, I could see how that could really show people a greater interest in them as you got to listen and learn from their point of view or what they're at. So talk about these four four areas that you thought are necessary for God to be effective in the days ahead: the going and sending, the listening and learning, the interest and intentionality, and authenticity.
Yeah, so when you asked me to speak on the idea of community, I started to think about some of the things I've been studying in my dissertation and what it takes to see community in its truest sense together. And one of them is going and sending, the sending of people, the going outside of our traditional ministry sense and the traditional ministry in the four walls of the church, but going into the community and being where people are. And so whether that's at your grocery store, or at the library, at the gym when you go, the racquetball court, wherever, there are people out there that God wants you to get to know. And so we have to make an intentional decision to go. And then the listening and learning is more of just really truly being interested in people, listening to their story and wanting to hear all about them and their interest in their family, and really taking an interest in them and truly listening and learning about them. And that's important, because if you try and make people interested in you,
right,
and your church and what you're doing, it's going to fail. And so taking an interest in Mark and his family and his kids and what he likes, and that forces us to listen. And I've always been told God gives me two ears and one mouth, and I need to heed that. And so we need to listen and learn more.
And you gave a number of examples, and I know how other people of recent have been talking about hospitality. And if you can get somebody to your dinner table,
yeah,
so much can happen. Walls can be taken down. You can share about family and friends, yeah, and interests. And sometimes I think we want to get them to church and then have the pastor bring them to the Lord. When you were even saying something that everyone popped their eyes open, you know, don't invite them to church. First, get to know them. Get to build a relationship. Ask them about their family. Show up to where they work. You know, build that commonality of that you care about them before you bring them to church.
Yeah, don't just invite people to the Sunday morning service. Invite them into your life. Yeah. Because if we are a part of the body, we are the church. And recently, my wife and I had some people over, and they came over, I think, at like 5:30, and it was like after 10 o'clock when they left, and we went, where did the time go?
Yeah.
And I think that's, you said it, inviting people to the table, inviting people to your house and into your home and going to theirs, and it really just opens the door for God to do just really cool things and just engage in relationship.
And then you talked about interest and intentionality.
Yeah, and so just kind of follows along, just being interested in what you're interested in and being intentional in everything we do. So, you know, not just being flippant in sending text messages or going to visit, but really being intentional about getting to know people and wanting to hear their story and wanting to get to know their family and inviting them over and, you know, really just taking an initiative of wanting to be interested in people. I mentioned on Thursday, Dale Carnegie wrote a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And in there he says you can make more friends in 2 months by being interested in them than you can in 2 years by trying to make people interested in you. Yeah. And so really just showing an interest in people and what they're interested in, their passions, their likes and dislikes, it will help to kind of build that community and that relationship.
You gave a great example, and there was a little conviction in my heart. You were talking about, you know, we go to the grocery store all the time and we look for that. Hey, I have a busy schedule. I'm going to do that self-service and boom, 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 I'm in and out. And you said, you know, that cashier is there maybe every week. That's their full-time job. How much better would it be for you to pause? And yes, maybe it's going to take a minute or two because you have to stand in line. But then you get to have that interaction. Yeah. You get to say, how you doing today? Or bring them a smile or an encouraging word. And I thought, you know, I'm like trying to be efficient. I'm going to get in and out as fast as I can. So I many times will look for that self-checkout. Yeah. And I started thinking, you know what? How many times do I miss out on that opportunity that God was setting up a divine appointment?
Yeah.
And it can be as simple as just saying, how you doing today? Or can I pray for you? Is there anything I can pray about? Or how's your kids doing? Or something that begins building that relationship. So we need to be intentional, looking for all those opportunities at the gas station, wherever we go. Lord, order my steps. And I think as you closed out in prayer, you said that, Lord, may the rest of this day, all the pastors or ministry leaders seek those opportunities for those divine appointments where God's going to connect them up with an individual that maybe needs a word of encouragement or a smile or a care or, you know, to break bread with them or to spend time.
Yeah, one of the prayers I pray every week, and I can't take credit for it. I learned it from a pastor in Oklahoma City named Rick Harvey, and he calls it the open arms prayer. And it says, God, bring someone into my life today. Give me the wisdom to see them and the grace to open my arms to them. Mm. And that's really that prayer of God, do something for the kingdom today and let me be a part of it. Mm. And it's pretty incredible when he does that.
Mm. And the last of your four topics was authenticity. And it looks like we have about a minute and a half. So why is it important to be authentic?
I think authenticity is just the honest, open, who we are, being willing to share authentically with us. And especially in the world today, you know, we understand when people are being fake or not real, we're putting on the face. And for us to just be really in community where the walls, like you said, the walls come down. Mm-hmm. We have to be willing to be authentic and to put our true self out there and to just get to know people and use a lot around the table and in life together. That just, I think that breeds real community, real relationship, and that's what God intends.
And you mentioned how, as a youth pastor, the younger generation, they read right through when we're being fake or false or we're contradicting what we're saying. I mean, they see it right away. And for those of you that have youth or serve the youth, you know, you got to be yourselves. And when you blow it or botch it up or fall short, just confess it or just share, hey, I blew it. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that, or I got angry or upset. You know, I'm still in process, as you started the program saying, this is a journey we're all on. We're not perfect. We daily have to lean into Jesus, and that's the best place to go when we've fallen short or we want to serve him in unique ways.
Well, and I think the other thing is it helps people to know that you don't have to be perfect, that you are in the same way you fail and you fall, and we can fall together and grow together and just makes things real.
Mm. Well, we began with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. May this be true of you today. Take to heart that God wants to work in and through you. He's got plans and purposes for you this very day. And as it says at verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor David Hayter with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.